I know, David, that you have heard from the Lord several times, or at least a few times, since you came to Christ in 2005, 2006. What can you share with us about that?
Well, you know what? And this is totally up to you, because I can start from the beginning, how the supernatural started in my life. Mm-hmm. And then kind of lead towards when I became a Christian in 2005. Mm-hmm. Or would you like me to just start from when I became a Christian?
Well, you know, in the first episode, the previous interview, you went into quite a lot of detail about how you did come to Christ through the, you know, what was going to be, I guess, your second suicide attempt, and, you know, seeing death in one hand and life in the other, and recognizing that it was time to choose life. So I don't know what you'd like to share in addition to that part of the story. Say on exactly as you want to speak, brother. You've got the floor.
Okay, thank you. I think it would be kind of important to build a foundation because the unbelief in the churches, especially, it's unbelievable. You know, there was this satanic priest where he became a Christian. You know how he became a Christian? It's an amazing story. They would summon on the seances, they would summon fallen angels. And they would do some crazy things, supernatural things. Mm-hmm. And one day, that high priest for Satan, satanic high priest, was walking with one of the satanic church member. And as they're walking, there is this little girl singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And she's walking on a sidewalk. And all of a sudden, his eyes opened up and he saw an enormous, powerful angel walking with that girl. And it terrified him so much. It's something he has the power behind it, has something that he never seen before. He had to go to the other side of the street. And guess what? After this situation, he received Jesus.
Amen.
And he's traveling all over the world, speaking of the testimony. And one of the interesting things he said is, if the Christians would truly believe the power that they have in the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, but the unbelief is really sickening in the church.
Yes.
It seems like many congregations are acting like we do not serve the God that split the Red Sea,
Amen.
That brought the flags, that delivered Israel from the hand of the enemy. Mm-hmm. As if we're not serving Jesus that performed thousands, if not millions, of miracles. It's really crazy, the unbelief in the land. And this is what Jesus said. He didn't say, when he comes back, will I find love? Will I find this or that? He says, will I find faith?
Amen.
Right? So the key point is faith.
Amen.
Because through faith, everything else will lead. You know, the belief, it was justified for Abraham and others through the faith they had.
The faith of faithful Abraham, that's right.
It wasn't even through the laws that they followed, but through their faith,
Amen.
They were justified.
Amen.
So that's the key point. And what I want to do today is I would like to share with everybody a little bit of my life, aka supernatural, because I believe there is thousands, if not millions, of Christians that have experienced something, and even not Christians, that they don't want to speak about. They're afraid to speak about. They're afraid of the reaction. Here, I want to say that we are human in three. We have a body, we have a spirit, and we have a soul.
Amen.
We are spiritual beings, and do not let this beast system tell you otherwise.
Amen.
Because many that rule this beast system, they see the fallen angels, they talk to the fallen angels, but they want to cloud you with unbelief. They want to treat you like cattle, but you're not cattle. You're not just a social insurance number. You are created in the image of God, And Jesus says this, greater things you shall do than me in these end days. The way it began in my life, now that I'm 40 some years old, I'm starting to understand more what is really taking place, what is really going on, why certain things were happening, through understanding the Bible, through understanding demonology and occultism and shamanism and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It began in my life when I was about 4 or 5 years old. I grew up in southern Poland, in Silesia. My parents were always hardworking people. And, you know, like normal families, there were fights sometimes, there were not fights sometimes, good, bad times, you know. But overall, I had an amazing childhood. Even though it was communism, my parents always made sure that I'm well-fed, that I'm dressed. Same with my brother. They were very hardworking people, very well-educated people. Around four or five, it started with a certain situation. It started nighttime. And it would feel like a dream, but in reality, an entity, something, some creature, some very terrible creature would come and would grab me by force, and I would be taken in a cosmos. So I would see the earth. It was very fast. Everything was happening so quick that it hurt me. It was hurting my body to the point that I would be screaming on top of my lungs. And while this was happening, I would not remember crying or screaming. I would just see this vision. And like Paul says, was I in a body or outside of a body? I cannot tell you. Mm-hmm. I was taken to far away, and I could see the earth from far away. And I felt the presence of the shadow standing beside me. And I was put on a huge, fiery, toxic rock. And this rock was coming towards Earth at a great speed. And as I was looking, all of a sudden, my vision went into the sea. And I was standing kind of like three quarters of my body inside the sea. And I would see this huge rock fall and crush not only me, but crush the earth where I was. And it was so, so terrible, so demonic, that I would be crying for hours, not remembering. And so my neighbors would think that my parents are doing something to me, you know. But this lasted, I would say, on and off for about a year.
Wow.
And it would be always the same thing, exactly the same thing, over and over and over. When I first read the Bible, and that was years back, I mean, this affected me to such a point that I had a problem with speech. Mm-hmm. It was a pure terror. Yeah. It was like a possession. Mm-hmm. And I had to go to correct my speech and all of this. And thank God that I was cured, and my lisp and all that stuff was cured. Then I found, when I was reading a book of Revelations, what I saw was wormwood.
I knew that's what you were going to say, brother.
Yeah, I saw wormwood, and I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. First, certain things need to play out here. The church has been tested for the reason of Jesus separating the goats in order to build his bride.
Yeah.
Uncompromised bride, okay? So we are in the process now. That's why I say I feel very sorry for the traitors, because God will deal with them. They have no idea what they have done. So this was my childhood. And then, you know, to be honest, when it ended, I remember there was a situation when I was a child, a gypsy woman was whispering something to me on a train. There were a few weird things happening to lead to this, what I would say, oppression. In my family, my aunt, I don't know if people know much about mediums and how the shamanism, even in Slavic tribes, was passed from generation to generation.
Okay.
So my aunt could see certain things, could feel energy, all kinds of weird things.
Okay.
She received Jesus, thank God.
Praise God.
But as I'm analyzing, it's strange that something was calling me from a young age.
Yeah.
Something was wooing me. Something was showing me, hey, you're to do something, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't in a good sense. It wasn't in a light. It was in a dark. And then when I was about 13 years old, aunt came to visit us in Greece. We lived in Greece at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And she came and we were we did some spiritualist, bringing the spirits of the dead.
Wow.
And things started to manifest. And to be honest, it excited me because things started to move. All kinds of weird things were happening. And at that time, I started to listen to death metal and we would, you know, some of my friends would sniff glue, drink already, you know, because the emigrant kids, you know, in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
At an age about 14, I started to read satanic Bibles.
Mm.
Satanic Bible and all these writings that were dedicated to the knowledge of Satan and witchcraft and all of this stuff. And it was like on and off, something was calling me, you know, something was wooing me. And then nothing really happened. We moved to, I'll give you one thing that we used to do. It was called the Kiss of the Devil. And I don't recommend anybody doing it. That's not the reason why I'm saying that. So, it's a warning to anybody that's listening. Don't do it.
Amen.
You would tie a belt around your neck and another person will hold the end of the belt. And as you're leading forward, you would suffocate. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we will call out demons. And all of a sudden in front of your eyes would be this demon. And what appeared to me was an entity saying, come closer, come, give me a kiss. And so your belt would tighten and you almost passed out, right? So just crazy demonic things like this. To be honest, Athens at that time was very death metal, heavy metal, you know, was 1990s, you know.
Yeah.
It was pretty dark, you know. I'll go to see, you know, Cannibal Corpse, Paradise Lost, you know, all these kind of death metal bands that summoned the devil right at the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening after that, at the age of 15, 16, we moved to Canada. And all of this kind of nonsense left me for a little bit. But once again, I got a hold of a recording of a certain satanic ritual. And it was in Polish. And what, you know, once again, and that was done in front of my parents, I made a pact with Lucifer. I said, if I win the lottery ticket, here I am, devil, I'm yours, I said.
Mm-hmm.
So just crazy things like this. And I would fall asleep and listen to that satanic ritual right by my ear.
Wow.
And very strange things started to happen. Very, very, very crazy things started to happen. And at that time, I was already doing drugs. I was already smoking, drinking. but it wasn't heavy drugs yet.
Mm-hmm.
That was about at the age of 19, I moved out of the house and I went upstairs to the bathroom and there was a window and it was a stormy evening. And the window was a little bit open and I heard what sounded like big wings.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard these wings and I'm thinking, oh my, what is this, right? Mm-hmm. An eagle or something, but it was in the middle of the city. So I looked outside kind of through the window and I didn't spot anything on the roof because you could see the roof on the left and right side.
Yeah.
By the way, that window was situated. And I didn't think much about it. I said, oh, that's weird. You know, who would have such big wings? The next day, I commit suicide.
Mm.
And by getting very drunk and taking pills.
Mm-hmm.
The way I get rescued is really a miracle. They flush my system literally minutes from being a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
I was 19 years old, 19 going on 20, around that.
Yeah.
And it was at the time where I really feared for my life. I was in the game. I was dealing with people. Some of them were gangsters. Some of them were full-blown criminals. And I started to fear for my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a situation where they were shooting at me.
Mm-hmm.
And the bullets scraped my ear.
Right.
We were running in a car, and a car was chasing us with certain people, and all I could see through the window was a gun and three or four shots. And I felt this hit on my seat, and all of a sudden blood started to drip on my shirt, and I felt this hot. But what I was thinking is, if there is blood, maybe I got shot in the head, but in such a way that it didn't touch my nervous system. That's why I'm mm-hmm. still alive. Or maybe yeah. I'm in the process of dying. It happened so fast and in such panic. And then I realized that it was my ear.
Yeah.
Was messed up. So thank God I survived this, oh dear. Or you know, this this crazy experience. It happened as it came to such a point where I was so paranoid for my life. In the midst of all of this, my brother would preach to me, his wife would preach to me, my parents tried to help me as much as they were possible, mm-hmm. were able to help. And my brother said, every time you come to church, I'll give you $50. So I said, hey, not bad deal. So I came to this one church, I put my weapon under the seat, and I come to the church, and this preacher was speaking of deliverance, and mm-hmm. And I started to notice when he started to pray for people, he would touch them in their head, and they would fall. I'm thinking, what kind of circus is this?
Yeah.
And my brother says, go, you got nothing to lose. So I kind of went, yeah, I got nothing to lose. He came up to me and he touched my head and says, you be free in the name of Jesus. And I resisted with all my might. And I said, I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. I'm not going to fall. But I couldn't resist. I fell. Mm. And I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw a huge hand pick me up. And all of a sudden, my whole body started to convulse. And people noticed that I'm possessed, that they started yeah. to cast out demons out of me.
Yeah.
And you know, the crazy thing is, when I fell, my shirt went up. And I'm thinking in my head, thank God I took the weapon out, because now it would be exposed. That's in my head. You know, but this is happening. And all of a sudden, people are like, look at his stomach. Fists are coming out of his stomach. And I was paralyzed. But at the edge of my eyes, I could see my stomach convulse uncontrollably.
Mm.
And people what they saw was little fists trying to come out of my stomach.
Right.
They started to cast out the demons. It took a while, and all of a sudden I felt like vomiting.
Yes.
And I felt them something leave my body.
Yeah.
And I started to feel so free. And that vision of me being on the hand of a giant hand carried was something it was just, the feeling was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I cried, but I walked out of the church. I said bye to my family. First thing I did is I received a phone call that there was a party. I lit a joint and I went to that party, and my state became worse than ever. I started doing heavy drugs. At the same time, I met these two twins, the twin brothers, and they said, David, you know, they're going to kill you, man. If you don't let go of the game and the streets, they're going to kill you. Let us take you to a place of peace and love. You know, and at that point, I was so tired and just tired of being afraid and paranoid, yeah. Walking always with something to defend myself, you know, and, you know, you got to understand, my best friends were killed.
Okay.
Right? So it was a serious thing. It was not, yeah. Not a joke. One of my best friends was killed, a close casket, to the point that it had to be a close casket. Mm-hmm. They destroyed him so much. And another friend was stabbed 16 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, I'm at the age of 20 years old.
Yeah.
And so I needed something new. I needed something new. I wasn't quite ready to let go of my sin because I loved my sin too much. So I said, okay, I'm going to go with you. And they took me to a rave. And from this wannabe gangster with gangster rap to a rave, it was completely different world. So for the first time, they gave me a pill of ecstasy.
Yes.
And on the way to that building, it was called the Northern Lights with DJ Digweed and Sasha. I'll never forget that. My first rave. And before I popped the pill, we went inside and I have a vision. It is a huge sports gala, like huge building. And the music is going and people are dancing already and the lights and everything. And I have a vision and I stop. And I'm telling my friend, do you see what I see? It's like, no. And they just kind of brushed me off. They went inside. What I saw was a giant human looking thing. It reminded me of what Buddha looks like.
Mm-hmm.
With flowers around his neck and having two hands where the people are dancing, kind of scooping through them into his chest. And it was going with the music, you know, boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. And he was like, he was getting worshipped by everybody that was there dancing. And
right.
He was receiving the glory from it.
Right.
It was a huge, huge demon. From now I know it was a demon.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in a middle giant entity, sitting in the middle of this rave. And to me, was kind of cool because once again, it's something supernatural. So I thought to myself, wow, this is special. I'm like not everybody else.
Yes, that's right.
I can see things, you know?
Yes.
So I popped the pill and, you know, MDA, MDMA.
Yeah.
And all kinds of other pills. And I'm dancing. And all of a sudden I see these Asian girls dancing with this Asian guy. And he looked at me, he looked normal and he smiled. And then he looked away. And another time that he looked at me, his face changed into a demonic face.
Yeah.
And then it changed again into normal. And this would happen throughout the night, but it excited me. I said, wow, this is something interesting. This is mm-hmm. this is something that I read about.
Mm-hmm.
This power, this kind of opening up of portals.
Yes.
And at that time, I didn't realize that it was taking me into a very terrible direction.
Yeah.
I would go to sketch parties, and these are called the after parties. And what is interesting, because it came, the situations that happened in my life came to a point where I would be fearing that maybe I'm crazy a little bit.
Yes.
But people at these parties, I'll give you an example. We are sitting on a couch. We are high. The music is going. And all of a sudden, I see shadows walking in the midst of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy sitting beside me, I've noticed he's looking in the same direction as me, following
right.
what I'm. And all I could say to him is, do you see what I see? And he says, the shadows. I'm like, yeah, the shadows. You see him? He says, yeah, I see him. So we were watching these shadows walking in the midst of people. Situations where certain other demonic entities would manifest. And it wasn't once, it was few times that people were I was with some people and people would see the same things. So to me, it was a positive thing because I knew I'm not crazy.
Yes.
You know, that okay, if I would see something by myself over and over, who knows, right?
Yes.
But because people can see what I see, I said, okay, I'm not crazy. This is really happening. There is a supernatural world. There is a spiritual world all around us.
Yeah.
But it excited me even more. I would be at raves and I would, in the middle of the dance floor, I would just feel this urge, invite us in. And I would stand in the middle of that dance floor and I would just yell, come in. And I would feel the demons enter me. I would
right.
go to the bathroom and I would look into my eyes and I could see an animal inside. I could
right.
see something looking through my eyes at me. Right. But it excited me. It gave me more high. It gave me more
yeah.
what I thought. Power.
Yeah, you're falling into that trap of being a spiritual person, I guess.
Well, yeah, I felt special, right? I would say not everybody sees that, but then I would meet people at the raves that would have similar experiences. They would mm-hmm. say, yeah, there's weird things, demonic things happening.
Right.
But everybody was kind of excited about these things. It was like a devil's playground. The raves, how they describe that it's going to be a place of peace, love, and unity.
Yes.
It was nothing but a devil's playground.
Yes.
The demonic manifestations just intensified more and more. There were situations where I ran to my brother's house. He had to come and anoint the place, even though I wasn't saved. But it mm-hmm. got so bad that things were just moving. Things were creaking, bumping, you name it.
Yes.
All kinds of things. There's many situations that I could describe, but there is other things that we can move on to. I believe it was 2001 when somehow I got baptized in this church. Because, you know, in the midst of my addictions, in the midst of me loving the sin, at the same time it was destroying me. So there was an absolute struggle within me.
Yeah.
So I got baptized in this church for the second time and then fell back to sin right away. And 2005 was the day where I ran to the water and I said, this is it. That was after the visitation that I've explained in my testimony.
Yes.
Where I had a head collision with Jesus.
Amen.
And to continue, there's many other situations that happened, but it would take just too long. All I want to tell people is that the demonic world is very real, that the enchantments, that occultism, that voodoo, that Satanism, even though most people don't understand what true Satanism is, people think that Satanism is killing cats under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not it. It's a little bit different, but it's real. The devil is real. The angels are real. And if you don't stand on guard, they can oppress you, possess you. They can sift you. That's why we got to have the Holy Spirit in us. Because otherwise, it's like going to a battle that surrounds us with a toothpick. Yeah, we're just not able to win with the devil, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we need to walk in that power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, so 2005, in my thinking was, I became a Christian. Now it's going to be easy road. Now it's going to be, you know, all the demons are cast out. Mm-hmm. You know, I am a free man. I don't have any addictions. I preach on the streets. Now Christian life is going to be peaches and cream.
Mm-hmm.
Man, was I wrong. As you know, 2006, we started to get persecuted by the entire government.
Yeah.
Jail time, penalties, courts, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
And the absolute rejection by the Christendom. And I would say it was around 2008. But the state of my heart, I'll give you an example how desperate I was for Jesus. You know, it says whoever has done evil much loves much. You know, and in my life, unfortunately, I've done a lot of stupid and evil things,
mm-hmm.
including breaking all of the Ten Commandments. So I understood that Jesus doesn't want just 10% from me. It's either I'm all in and married to him or nothing.
Amen.
So I met this one prophet of God, an older gentleman from Quebec. And when I mean prophet, I'm very cautious.
Yes.
Many call themselves prophet, but it's all blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
This man, since 1970s, everything he prophesied came true. So when we were eating together, spending time together, you felt truly like you're talking to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The aroma of Christ was on this man, and he seen through you. We would speak, and all of a sudden, he would say something from the past. And I would say, how do you know this? You know? But it was for him to testify that he truly hears from God. And I said, Rial, his name is Rial. I said, Rial, I want to see Jesus. I want to see what you see. I want to have a visitation. And he says, David, indeed, you will have a visitation today. Jesus was going to come. And I said, okay, I'll see you later. I have to go. I went home and I was waiting. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Nothing happened. And that day, I didn't really see Jesus. And a few weeks passed. And we were really under heavy persecution then. I come home from the ministry, it was around, I'd say 11 o'clock at night. And I'm about to sit on a couch and I was just so brokenhearted. We were just, you know, arrested, harassed, huge fines, betrayed by so-called Christian lawyer that we had.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a very tough time, you know?
Yeah.
And as I was to sit on the couch, I was about to sit on a couch, all of a sudden I hear a voice and it says, listen. And it cut me in half. It was like what I felt the voice was double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that happened a few weeks after Rial said that he's going to visit you. Now that I look back, just because I didn't see Jesus manifest that day, that doesn't mean he didn't visit me.
Right.
Right. Now that I have more time to think about these situations, right?
Yeah.
He was checking if I really want to. If I was paying attention, if I was waiting. And a few weeks after that, I hear his voice. And this time his voice was like rushing water, not like a little spring. It was like Niagara. It was so powerful, so mighty, so scary.
Yeah.
It was like tens of thousands of people running towards each other in battle and shouting on top of their voices, something I never heard before.
Yeah.
You know, there is a situation in the movie Troy when the armies are running towards one another. So something like this, but amplified by hundreds.
Yeah.
And he said, listen. And I felt like a dead man on the face first, forward. And I was paralyzed. I couldn't move myself. And I see a man walking towards me. But he was so full of light, I could not see his face. What was interesting about this was that the light that was in him and around him was alive. And what it felt like, it has a choice to worship him. So it chose to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
It was glorifying him. That light in itself was glorifying him. It wasn't right. like a light bulb. It lived.
Right.
And as he was coming closer, the electricity, the feeling that was in my body was so intense that all of a sudden I said, Lord, I cannot take it anymore. Please. And all of a sudden he disappeared. And I saw two beings. I couldn't figure out fully what these beings were, but I saw two of them coming with a larger bowl filled with something. And they stood on each side of me and they threw it on top of my head, the contents of that bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that liquid touched my head, I see a face of a child in front of me. And I see that child, and he's about, I don't know, 7. Then I see another child, 6, then 5, 4, 9. And then I see these children looking at me, and I became like a sponge. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
And I was taking the innocence, like, you know, like they were innocent, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I realized that we have to be innocent in front of God.
Amen.
So I became like a sponge. And then I see last child was a small child unwrapping some, what it looked like a present. And all of this that's happening, remember, I'm paralyzed.
Yes.
I'm laying head first. And I'm repeating in my head from fear, Lord, I'm listening, I'm listening, I'm listening, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I was like a broken record from fear.
Yeah.
At the same time, awe and excitement. I couldn't believe this is happening. I couldn't believe that he answered my prayer. Who I was? Nobody. Nobody. I don't deserve this. I'm a nobody. And here he is showing me some things. And all of a sudden, when I saw that last child, I saw the glory of God. And what I saw was, I didn't see the one sitting on a throne. I couldn't. But I saw the colors and the rainbow that is around the throne room.
Yeah.
And it was so majestic and powerful. I couldn't comprehend it. It was too much.
How would you describe the colors, David?
It was colors that every color you can imagine. It was it was, you know, the rainbow, it's only a portion. And I'm talking about the real seven color rainbow.
Yes, that's right.
It's only a portion of what we're going to see when we see God. You know, now I understand when the cherubim cannot even look at him who sits on the throne.
Yeah.
It's something else. I mean, only through Jesus, we're going to be able to look at him.
Yeah.
Only through him, because otherwise we would burn. And right after these colors, out of these colors appeared fiery text, which went from left to right, from right to left.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, if you do not become as a little child, by no means you shall enter the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And these letters were set on fire.
Yeah.
So that was my second head-on collision with Jesus.
And that was in 2009, is that right, David?
I would say 2008, around
2008,
that.
Okay.
Yes. So the next thing that I experienced was I was seeking to have a wife. And this is, I want to mention this because a lot of Christians have to understand that when God gives you something, it's perfect.
Yeah.
The devil is a copycat. And that was a lesson to me. I had a vision in the night and I was praying for a wife. And I see the prophet of God dressed like the prophet of old, looked like the prophet of old, and showed me not only in this year, and I saw the year in fiery letters,
mm-hmm.
but not only in this year, you will do this, but you shall have a wife. And I saw the year, and then all of a sudden that year changed. But I have to admit, I believed at the beginning and nothing happened that year. And then I understood that if you see in a certain vision something imperfect, something that changes, something that is a copycat, do not believe it.
Right.
That was my warning to me personally.
Yeah, to try the spirits.
You have to try the spirits because yeah. The devil will come as an angel of light.
That's right. Yes.
So another situation was in 2010. We are still under heavy persecution.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I have a vision in night. And this time I see a huge star and I look in the heavens and I see this star falling. And all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, this is Lucifer. And I saw him fall into heaven and crash onto the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, and I felt there is no more place found in him in heaven.
Yeah.
And as he hit the earth, the sky changed into blood red.
Right.
And it looked like an atomic winter. And he got up. And I saw him. He looked like scarlet and purple. He was dressed in scarlet and purple.
Mm-hmm.
These are the royal colors. He's a copycat.
Yes.
He wants to be like Jesus. So these colors in themselves are godly colors, but mm-hmm. he wants to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
He wants to be in place of Jesus.
That's right.
I saw him as he walked through the earth. He was devouring everything in a path and destroying the whole earth. It was on fire. It was war. It was famine. And all of a sudden, in front of me was a huge fire came out of the ground. It was huge. It was a few meters and it was burning like, you know. And I understood this is the Holy Spirit burning. And I looked through the fire. And I see a prophet of God and he's looking straight into my eyes and I see him through that fire on the other side of the pit.
Yeah.
And he pointed at a young man and I knew it was a young prophet and he was dressed in ragged clothes. He was in distress. And the prophet, the older prophet, looked at me and says, David, you still do not understand. He pointed at the young prophet. And I understood that the church is going to be under heavy persecution. And I saw the years 2019, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What is interesting is that in 2019, we have the story with Wuhan.
Yes.
And then it spread in 2020. And then we can go on the first horseman of the apocalypse. He's adorned in white. He has a crown on his head. Is there to conquer the world, right? Who's dressed in white? Doctors, right? So there is a lot of symbolism that's leading to this, that 2019, 2020.
Yeah, and can we just stop and talk about that crown for a moment? Corona means crown.
That's right. And the first horseman is a horse is white. The rider is dressed in white.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a crown. What's interesting, he has a bow to conquer.
Yes.
Look at medical tyranny has taken over the entire world.
Absolutely.
It was the prepping for what's coming next, and that is the Third World War. Okay, that's the next horseman, right? So what's interesting, what do you use in a bow? You use an arrow. And what the warriors do, they dip that arrow in poison.
Yes.
Right? So we're talking about the jobs here and all this.
That's right.
Crazy stuff. So it was interesting. I didn't understand 2019, 2020. But that was not all, the vision was not over. What I saw, all of a sudden, as Satan was destroying everything in his path, even though the young prophet was in distress and it seemed on a run, I saw a dome appear above us. And the words that the gates of hell will not prevail against my church.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a huge courage and strength. And I went to certain churches to deliver the message. And of course, I was brushed off.
Okay.
So that was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
The next visitation, the one that shook me greatly, was in 2019. And this was a message where I delivered in front of the legislature and the Parliament of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And it was regarding what's going to happen in Canada in a soon future. We were up north working, very far up north. And as I was listening to worship and working, minding my own business, all of a sudden, I felt what I feel every time that the visions happen. It's all of a sudden, things kind of slow down.
Okay.
And I start to feel like I'm, if I can describe it, it's like I'm in liquid honey.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an amazing sweet aroma, amazing fragrance.
Right.
Something that I don't know, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a very pleasing aroma.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear a voice saying, my son, war is coming. And I crunched down and I looked up and I couldn't see anything. And right away I saw visions of war. And I saw like atrocities. I saw dead bodies. I saw hunger. I saw all these things, destruction, you know?
Yes.
And tears just flew down my face.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could say is, but my father, why? And again, the voice came and said, because my children have sold me for silver and gold. And it took a little bit of time and that feeling and everything departed. And right away, I went upstairs from the basement where I was working, and I told my wife and some other people that were working there, I said, I have visitation. And I came up weeping, you know, crying.
Yeah.
And I knew there will be a conflict coming. And as time passed, I would receive a certain more revelation regarding this. And I know that Canada is going to be attacked by the very nations that Trudeau is going to bed with.
Yes.
And it's going to be a coalition. And at the same time, we're going to be attacked from the inside.
Yes.
So I know this is coming to Canada. And you know what? The difference between the other visions and this one was that I felt this prophecy, this vision, let's call it vision because I don't call myself a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't dare to do it. That has to be Lord. But in that last vision, it was like a stamp. It was a stamp. It can't be revoked. It's not going to change.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore if the church is going to repent, if the church is going to be on her knees in sackcloth and ashes.
Mm-hmm.
It is set in stone. It's kind of like that the bowl has overflown.
Yeah, these things must come to pass.
Yes, because before certain things that I would see, sometimes it would be conditional or they could be some time prolonged.
Yeah.
But this one was very urgent and it's going to happen. And it's going to come like a thief in the night. And many people here will have no idea what hit them.
Yes.
And I believe that's not just going to be a Canadian war. It's going to be a global war.
Yeah. Do you have a sense of the timing of that, David?
You know, this time I didn't receive the timing. What I can tell you is that I watch signs, and the signs are telling me that this we are in season. I wasn't given a year, but I observe more and more how Trudeau has sold us to the very enemies that will want to conquer this land.
Amen. I assume you're talking here about China.
Yes, China and the coalition that is going to come with China. And I believe it's going to be Persia and other places like this. So with Persia, there will be other tribes. So I believe what I received was that a lot of the tribes here will want certain revenge that they have in their hearts towards Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them will use this situation to get that revenge, especially in the rural areas.
Yeah.
So these are the things. Another thing that I received that woe to the nations that have nuclear power. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that was the nuclear electrical plants. So not perhaps the nuclear weapons, but those who have nuclear reactors.
And why is that?
Because from what I sensed was some of them are going to be attacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy how all of a sudden in Ukraine, there is this talk about them being worried about Chernobyl and the other huge reactor.
Yes, that's right.
I don't think they will be hit. But remember, we live in a day where the deception is so great that there could be a situation where they will say that it was hit in order to remove certain population from certain lands, right? So there is going to be a lot of espionage.
Yes.
We just have to pay attention to that. Christians, don't believe the news.
Yes,
don't believe
amen.
You got to go to the source of the tree, to the root.
Amen. Now I want to thank everyone for joining us for today's podcast. Who do you know that's on fire for God today?
please reach out to us if you have a potential guest in mind that you'd like us to have on the podcast. Also, if you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can visit our website at onfireforgod.today. If you'd like to support our work, you can donate via the website as well. We'd also greatly appreciate your ongoing prayers for God's guidance, protection, and provision for this ministry of His, and that He continues to strengthen us all with His godly wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and spiritual discernment. Thank you, folks. Until next time, let's continue to ask our loving Father in Jesus' name what we can do to be truly on fire for God today and every day for the remainder of our time in this last day's world within which we're all living. To Him goes all the glory, all the time. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and have mercy upon thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, to which I say, Amen and Amen. You're going to want to join us for the upcoming part of this 3-hour interview. This will be the final part, part 3, in which David Pavlovsky shares yet more visions, words that he has received from the Lord. He also is going to share miracles that have transpired over the course of their many years in ministry, working in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And finally, he has wisdom to share with us. So be sure to tune in next time for part 3, the final part of this 3-hour interview with David Pavlovsky. Until next time, may God bless you.